Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Have you tried changing your health year on year, resolving that this year things are going to be different, but nothing seems to change? Oftentimes, when things are not changing, we're following many wellness myths and not looking at the full picture, including our nutrition, recovery, stress management, leaving out mind-body connection. I want to introduce you to Wellness Redefined, a new podcast from Rufilion Media that's here to dispel all your myths about wellness and fitness while sharing stories of how we redefine what it means to be healthy. On each episode, we'll be talking to experts from all walks of life who will share their own unique wellness journey and offer their perspective. I am your host, Tamika Rochester, founder and CEO of Harlem Cycle, a premier wellness space in New York City with a focus on indoor cycling. I've been an advocate for wellness since as early as I can remember. So if this sounds like something that could help change your life, go ahead and pause the show you're listening to and subscribe to Wellness Redefined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, hit it and quit it.
Hit it and quit it.
Hit it and quit it.
It is recording. Hey guys, welcome. Welcome to Bapuim Bapuap. Welcome to Bapuima Webs. Thank you.
Thank you for subscribing.
Welcome to Between the Reps with Brooke and Gina. We are back.
Yes, we
are. Lucky you.
You're like, oh man.
Oh shit.
Shoot, I clicked the wrong podcast.
delete. We are going to talk about something that is, quite frankly, a little nerve-wracking and difficult.
Yeah. We're pretty scared to talk about this to you guys.
Yeah. Well, I think, and especially, you know, most of our episodes are so lighthearted and it's just about laughing and, you know, interviewing and all that. And so with everything going on in the news right now, we felt compelled to use this platform to at least talk about how we feel.
Yes.
About the whole George Floyd death and the Black Lives Matter movement. And to start off, we're not super educated.
Yeah. Okay. We were trying to figure out like, what's the best way for us to kind of start out this conversation or this chat? And I think it's super important for us to just let you know, we are not super educated.
We are dumb.
We are dumb. We're not super educated on every detail, everything over the years and years. You know, it's like there's so many things. And we both have, you know, white privilege.
Absolutely.
And even like Gina, like this is okay. And this is why it's so important to, for people to try and have these conversations, even when you're uncomfortable to talk about it, because you learn, you know,
right.
Like Gina explained, she kind of better explained to me earlier today, just how to really sort of look at or understand like what white privilege means.
Well, I can only tell you what I think that it means.
Okay.
And again, not super educated and definitely need to educate myself more.
We both do.
But the way that, you know, when you talk about white privilege, people automatically say things like, well, I wasn't privileged growing up. I didn't have money. I was.
We were poor.
We were poor. We were this, we were that. These, you know, terrible things happened to me, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that's what it means. I think that it means, as far as our mindset, we have not dealt with being an oppressed people.
No.
For years and years and years. So it doesn't mean that bad things haven't happened or that
every person, if they're white, automatically, you know, something's going to be handed to them.
Right.
Obviously your circumstance or where you grew up or how much, you know, how much money you have or what your educational sure. system looks like, depending on where you live or whatever, that's going to affect you just the way, you know, but all the above, just having white skin, you do not have to deal with things that people that are, you know, black or
having
brown,
to deal with based have, on their skin
yes,
color,
like fully based on their skin right. color. Also, I mean, like even just assumptions that are made based on your skin color, stereotyping that's based on your skin color. It's a, you know, yeah, it's.
Well, I think there's always stereotyping for anything, but I think it's really just the oppression.
Yes.
We were never an enslaved people.
No.
So you that's what I think of when I think of white privilege. And I had to really think about what that meant for me. And I think that I don't know what it would feel like to go somewhere and be frightened because, or worried or any of those feelings because of the color of my skin.
Yeah. Or maybe being a child or the parent of a child, that one of the lessons you have to teach them is how you can, like how to react if you do come in contact with like a police officer or someone right. that's in a position of power, and because you have to teach them how to survive based on their skin color. That's never been a lesson that's been taught to us.
Yeah.
It's because we've never had it because of white privilege.
Right. And I think also that we, you know, I look back at my life and I've always known that racism exists.
Yes.
I never felt like I was a racist or had been in a situation where, like in close quarters where I've experienced that. But I'm trying to like be really careful about, I'm not careful about what I say, I'm trying to explain it in a way that people can understand. But I had to acknowledge through all of, you know, for, you know, not just because of this, that I really do have white privilege
yeah.
and what that means to me. And so if I just by saying, well, I'm not doing this and I'm not saying that, is that enough? What else can I do to help end that mm-hmm. for people? And I think it's interesting that people have almost been up in arms about, you know, Black Lives Matter. I mean, they do matter.
Yeah.
And they're not saying Black Lives Matter and other ones don't.
No, exactly. It's like I've made a couple posts on social media and there's always countless comments that are like, all lives matter. You're wrong because all lives matter. And it's like,
well, are you wrong then? Because you know, like, all does encompass that. But we're not talking about.
I just showed you that post from, I'm going to pull it up really quick. Okay. It's a picture of this adorable little black girl. And she's holding a sign and it says, we said, and it points to Black Lives Matter. We never said only Black Lives Matter. We know all lives matter. We just need your help with Black Lives Matter for Black Lives are in danger. You know, and I think that I try to understand, you know, the people that they almost get defensive.
Which I, yeah.
You right. know, and I try to understand like why they would do that. And it's like, I kind of can understand like their train of thought. And, but I wish that more people could just think a little bit more logically right. about the fact that like, of course all lives matter.
Right.
Like we're, and what we're doing is we need as a country to come together and support this race and these people that have been oppressed their entire lives.
Right.
You know, and not only that, but
and other
like,
people.
Yes.
I mean, you know, really, it just brings to the forefront that there are a lot of people that need help.
You know, I had comments about, you know, it's this, it's almost like a, in my comment section, it was like a one-upping competition.
Right.
It was okay. Well, what about all of, you know, the Latin American people that get killed and no one's doing anything about that.
So let's
what
do
about,
something.
What about these white people that get killed and no one's doing anything about that? And it's like, we need to do something about all of it, you know, but what is, we can't obviously at right. Like we can't do it all at one time, but I can tell you that if we can come together to try and make a change for the problem at hand, the thing that is erupting, everyone's going to become much more connected.
Right.
And already we'll be able to develop this way of communicating through taboo, uncomfortable topics when they don't need to be. It's like because they make you uncomfortable because you're like, oh man, I don't want to say the wrong thing. But by not saying anything, that's almost what continues to have the topic of, you know, your skin color be this thing that's like, oh, you don't talk about it.
Right.
You know, when in reality, it's like, it's okay that I have white skin and Eric has brown skin and Gina has really white skin, you know,
and lots
and
of
Ray
freckles.
Has black skin. And my godfather has very dark, very brown skin and he's Polynesian. It's like, those are all these characteristics that it should be okay to notice those things. And we need to have a conversation and we need to talk about the things that are uncomfortable and we need to talk about the history and the truth so that we can make a change moving forward.
Right.
Versus continuing to have like this silent, you know, like certain people, like we can't talk about it. And then it's, you know, there's some people like in our case, right? Like we want to talk and we are talking about it right now today. And we're so nervous to do so because we don't want to come across the wrong way or say the wrong thing. But we had a conversation before we decided this is what we're going to talk about today. And it was, we have to.
Right. And not because we don't, obviously we believe that Black Lives Matter and we support that yes. and all of that. It's more because I know that if you are not white, there is a nervousness that you get. And I'm just being really honest. When you are a white person talking about
something you know nothing about,
that you haven't lived,
no.
And so I can't sit here and talk about what it's like, you know, to be oppressed and to be, you know, put down because of my skin color, because I have no idea what that's like. But I do know that I want to be part of a solution.
Yes.
I don't know how to do that. I really don't. I mean, my sister's been reading books and I'm going to start really educating myself and, you know, we can protest. We went to a protest yesterday. We were talking to Eric about it. There's, you know, you can donate. There's things that you can do. I don't know enough politically how to change that. I'm sure.
Vote.
Well, obviously yeah. vote. Yes. Which I do. But I think that it's just about me realizing instead of just living in this bubble mm-hmm. and thinking, well, I'm not that way. I don't do those things. I didn't teach my kids to do those things. That's just not enough mm-hmm. because unfortunately there are enough people who are like me who aren't being proactive. And then there are people that are part of the problem that have really skewed views. What I do think is that you're not going to get through to those people. We talked about this. You're not going to get through to those people that are so blinded that have those blinders on by yelling and screaming and, you know, putting them down and all of that. We need to find a way to make people realize that we can all change. Yeah. You know, we can start to think differently because I really did. I thought when I was younger, well, I don't do those things, and you know, I don't see those things, and I know they happen, but I'm realizing, even though that didn't happen in our town, that they are, it's just something that needs to stop. And so now, and again, Brooke and I aren't here talking about, you know, the solution because we don't know what it is, but it's just trying to open the conversation to have us all take a really good look at ourselves to say, what can we do?
Yep. I think that, I mean, cause I was trying to think about it, like, I was trying to think about like, what could a solution be? And I was actually talking to my dad earlier today, you know, and if there's a problem, the solution is never going to be to fight aggression and hate with aggression and hate and destruction. I do think that we need to have our voices heard. And right. Sometimes to do that, you got to kind of, you know, make noise.
Right.
But in the end, it's like, I think I said this to, maybe I was talking to Daniel about it. Like, if you are teaching a child something, you're not going to teach them by yelling at them. What you might do is scare them, suppress them from, you know, having an opportunity to like try something, make a mistake and learn from it. You're going to quiet them. And then chances of them acting out when they're older are probably pretty high, you know? And that also, I think, is why, you know, there's this idea or like this feeling of like, you don't want to speak on something that you haven't yourself lived or really understand, because there's this fear of just, you know, just doing it wrong. Yeah. And maybe someone being mad at you because you had no right to talk about it. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so instead, what do? We live in a way, oh, I can speak for myself. I live in a way that I love all lives. I want peace. If I were in a situation where a stranger was dealing with some sort of interaction that was like oppression or, you know, happening because of skin color, I myself would stand up. Is that enough? If I'm doing it, okay, I'm going to handle situations that I'm in or I'm observing or I'm, you know, a part of or I'm near. But if I don't start feeling more comfortable to have uncomfortable conversations so I can learn, so I can, you know, understand a little bit more of the things I have no idea about, then we're just going to continue to be living life in the exact same sort of cycle. Yeah. And we're, you know, and it's just going to be. And so the only, what I was thinking is like, well, obviously by trying to just break the system and destroy everything, that's not going to solve the problem. We need people to just try and be willing to just listen,
right?
You know, and instead of trying to make them like guilt people or guilt your friends into like sharing their thoughts or posting and supporting, like everyone's learning and dealing with that fear of like, you know, getting the courage to speak up or say something. Like that's, everyone's doing things on their own way and we have to respect that. But what we can do is, instead of judging people based on the way they're communicating, what we can do is kind of like just ourselves be willing to share some thoughts and never expect them to believe you or understand you or immediately change their perspective. Like, don't challenge them. Just share how you feel. And maybe some of those people will be able to kind of, you know, start to like see what you're saying. And then themselves will be able to notice those things around them. And then that is what can help change their heart. But so many people, if they feel attacked, what do? We get super defensive, right? And we shut down. I mean, even just like in a conversation with friends or family. And I've done that. I've done it with Gina. Because it's not
uncomfortable.
It's scary.
Yeah.
To feel like everything you've understood it was wrong. Maybe in a lot of people's cases, the way they looked at it isn't necessarily the right way, but is it their fault? If that's what they learned from a young age and that's where they grew up and that's how they understood it. It's like, we can't like basically attack people for things that were kind of out of their control, you know, growing up in an area with a mindset or thoughts about different things. But what we can do is maybe try and just through education or being more willing to have peaceful conversations, hopefully in situations where they can be somewhat peaceful. Right. To just kind of open their eyes to a new perspective versus ever trying to just make them feel bad for maybe their old perspective. Right.
Bully them.
You know, and bully them.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
I mean, I can say that I've been in situations where, you know, I've been in a situation where I see somebody not being treated well, and I didn't speak up as a kid. As a kid,
for sure. No, I probably wouldn't have either. I'd right. probably been like,
but I feel like a lot of people still feel that way as adults.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that really what, you know, we were listening to the girl last night at the protest, and she's, I think she was right out of high school, Eric. She already gone to high school. And she's in our area, and, you know, this area is not very diverse. It's predominantly white.
Yeah.
And at least it was more so when I went to SoCal High, but she also went to the same high school as me. And she was talking about how there was, she dealt with all sorts of, you know, people calling her, I think they called her Blackie, and people telling her nose was too big and her, you know, all these things that I just thought, oh my God, that's, you know, it's horrible. I think that they ended up having like a Nazi problem at school where she said kids were drawing like swastikas on the desks. And it's just, it was shocking to me living in this area thinking, oh, that, you know, that's not here. And it really shows, I mean, it's really probably everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's rather than, you know, basically putting our heads in the sand and thinking, oh no, not here. Oh, I haven't seen it myself. So it's not real. It's just important to hear those things and then go, okay, well now what are we going to do about this? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm thinking, my kids all are already always knew, you know, that it wasn't okay to say certain things, or, you know, we would have some discussion about race or, you know, people and differences or whatever. But I don't think that I was even in a position to really delve into that. And I think it's really important for parents to really talk about this kind of stuff with their children. And I think this is a great opportunity since it's so far and wide across, you know, going on in the news and just to really not assume, oh, that's not here.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. You said, like, one of my first thoughts was in a school, if this is happening, that's very uncomfortable, right? It's kind of, it's scary. It's terrifying. It's like, it would be so much easier for teachers and parents to obviously, you know, if there's a moment where something's happening and they see it, they would obviously do something about it. But if they're hearing about it, it'd probably be a whole lot easier to just kind of almost like lie to themselves that like, no, it can't be as bad as like what you would think. Not here, not in this area. And it'd be a whole lot easier to not speak up and say anything because it's a can of worms.
Yeah.
But it's a can of worms that needs to be opened. And the only way, and it's open right now. And this is not the first time this is like sort of happening.
No.
You know, and why is it happening again? Well, because at some point,
it dies down and then people don't think about it again.
There was a whole bunch of destruction and all this that happened and polarizing and like people just ruining their cities. And like, and when you fight back with fighting and hate and, you know, being super irrational for some of the things like that you think needs to happen, it's just going to die down and people are going to go back to what was easier.
Right.
Like if we don't talk about it, then we just, you know, we just live our lives and I handle how I conduct myself with people. But if we don't talk about it, it will just go away. And that doesn't happen. I mean, not in relationships.
Right.
Yeah, definitely not.
Not in anything.
Right. I would like to say, because you talked about the destroying of cities and all that, it's interesting to me how people, and I don't condone any of that. I do not condone rioting, you know, and the looting and all of that. But that is not just something that happens because of this incident with Black people.
Yeah.
White people have done this in their cities because they've lost, you know,
football games
and this is a widespread thing. And I think that's what's hard is that there's so many people that as soon as they hear something, they want to like pigeonhole it into, oh, it's these kinds of people. And it's really that all people across the board make bad decisions and, you know, all people across the board can change those decisions and make better decisions. And I don't like when people tend to make it one kind of problem. And then there's the weird part, like you were saying before, when you say something and then people want to come back with, well, what about this? And what about that? And when it's like, why is that even coming up? Yes, you're right. Absolutely. Yes, that is important also. And for some reason, this has come to the forefront, whether you like why it did or why it didn't, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
It really doesn't matter. Yes, there are police officers that have died. Yes, that is also terrible. There's all sorts of things that are terrible that happen. Why is it that as soon as something comes up that we need to deal with, somebody wants to take away from it?
Because it just turns into, well, what about me? Well, what about me?
Right.
And that mindset, like no one likes a one-upper. Okay?
Right? It's true.
No one likes a one-upper.
Right.
They don't. That doesn't mean that what you're going through doesn't matter.
Right. They're just trying to detract from,
yeah,
whether take the view off of what's actually important in this moment.
Whether it's in a conversation of just amongst friends and something bad happened to you and you're telling your friends and you have the one friend that's the one upper.
Oh yeah.
That they're like, oh, well, this happened to me. What do they do? Let me just dumb down and make what happened to you way less important because right. What happened to me was way worse. And what needs to happen is that we understand that everyone goes through hard times. We do. And the more we start, you know, understanding that
some worse than others,
and also allowing yourself to understand that, let's say me and Gina, I might have something. Okay, Gina might have something that happens to her. Like, say she stubs her toe super bad and rips her toenail off. Okay,
that's terrible.
And she's telling me about it. And what if I was a marathon runner and I lost my toenails all the time? I'm thinking like, what a pussy. You're that upset because you popped one toenail off. I'm thinking like, dude, you're telling me that's the worst pain you've ever felt. Like that's the worst. What I need to understand is that regardless of if what her worst was, in my head, if that happened to me, that's not my worst. It doesn't matter, because if that is the worst pain she's ever felt, that's the worst fucking pain she's ever felt that she's dealt with. And she deserves to have, like, to say that.
Thank you.
You do.
Thank you.
She has lost both her toenails, by the way. And I am not a marathon runner. But like, my point is, and I had a friend that helped me I never thought way different than that, but he helped me understand that just in like being able to try to find a way to relate or understand someone more. Because if someone's going through something and you can't understand it, but they tell you like a specific thing that happened, but in your mind, you're like, oh, well, I've been through way worse. So that it's almost like you don't feel as much for them. You're not giving it. You know, you're not caring enough. Whatever it is, if that's the worst thing that person has gone through, you can compare it to whatever the worst thing you've gone through, whatever that has felt like. It is heart wrenching. It feels like you're, you know, suffocating, dying. Like you can't get out of your bed, whatever it is. That's the worst thing they've been through. And they deserve every right to like, to not have people around them dumb it down or make it less important, because it's less important than what my worst thing has ever happened to me. And, you know, and since that conversation, I really think about that even with like Instagram comments, when people leave comments,
right?
You know, it's just, even if we don't, if you don't understand someone or what they're going through, if your intention is in the right place, having a conversation, like if your intention is in the right place, like you don't have to fully understand it. But like Gina said, I don't understand, but I definitely want to be a part of fixing it.
Yeah.
You know?
And just figuring out how to do that.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I we were having this conversation earlier today, and we were talking about trying to do this podcast, and how are we going to do it?
Yeah.
And not like in a weird way. I just feel like all I can do is talk about I'm a white person. I can only give my perspective. I cannot speak for, somebody else. But we were talking about it with our friend Daniel. And he said, because we were talking about how a lot of people were talking about how they're talking about. He was saying how a lot of people were just saying that the people in CrossFit weren't really coming out and saying anything. And we were discussing that. And then he was saying, well, you should have Kelvin on your podcast, because Kelvin is black. Not just because he's black, but he would have a better perspective from that.
He owns a CrossFit affiliate.
And
here,
he's the only CrossFit affiliate in our area who is a black owner. And my instant reaction, and I'm going to be really honest with you, was, well, are we going to look like we have a token, like we're two white people having a token black person on the show?
Yeah.
And that's just being really honest, because I don't want to seem like that.
And the thing,
but then I almost think like, well, because I thought that, does that mean that I'm thinking something bad? So it's really showing me that I don't really know what is the correct way to be, because I don't want to feel like I'm ever hurting anyone or doing anything that feels racist or not right or any, you know, like that.
You know what? This actually just came to my mind, and I think it's pretty brilliant. here's a comparison that I just thought. If I were in Spain, and I'm the American, right? I'm American, and none of them are from America, and they're talking about America. And they want to have me on because that's where I'm from. Like, who better? Like, they're not judging me. No one's looking at it as if like, oh, wow. Okay, so you had to get an American to talk about America. You know, it's like we don't look at that as weird.
Right.
You know, that's just, this person lives there. They've lived through the things, and they've lived through this event, and they were there during this event, and we're going to talk about it, and none of us are from there, and none of us live there, and we'd love to know, like, from this person's perspective, like, what was it really like? Right? I think that there is just so many years of quieting people, you know, of racism.
Well, in because our country, we're white, our yes. white ancestors,
yes, 100%.
And maybe not every single person's, but our white ancestors enslaved people and continue to enslave people. So you almost feel like this automatic responsibility is if you are guilty by association, and you can't completely ignore that.
No,
you can't completely ignore that and say, well, I'm not doing that.
No,
and I'm not that person.
No,
but you also have to acknowledge it. And that's what I'm trying to figure out is how do I acknowledge that?
Well, and it's
and
it's,
not, and I have a certain amount of guilt for it. Those were my ancestors that did stuff like that. It's horrible.
But it's also, it is hard to figure out a way to be able to kind of move past that, right? To be able to like not feel so uncomfortable, like worried about what are people going to think? Because it's like this. What are people going to say if we did want to talk about this and we had Kelvin on? What are they going to say if we're talking about it, but we had, I don't know, Megan on?
Right.
Right?
Who's white?
Who's white, but her daughter's half black. So, you know, but I'm just saying like I know.
There's the gonna, thing is that there's no,
everyone can find a reason. I mean, I've learned this posting on social
that's
media.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like you post, you know, I post on social media and there's people that love the support and love that I'm, you know, just voicing an opinion. And then there's countless, there's always like always the trolls are the ones that comment a lot more. Right. So it's a lot easier to like feel like that's where a lot of your, you know.
Yeah. You don't know if it's real people or not.
But there's people just getting so upset and one-upping,
right?
Like, and it's like, you're never.
Well, it's not, and for me, it's not about winning. I'm totally fine. I mean, I'm on here saying exactly how I feel.
No, for
and
sure.
So I do know that there might be people that think that for whatever reason, they don't like it, but that's just how I have felt. And I just, for me, I'm just trying to figure out a way. Yeah. I don't want to look like I'm ever trying to hurt anybody. I don't want to look like I'm thinking less of anybody. And I do care about what people think. I'm not talking about necessarily people listening to this,
yeah.
but the people that I'm talking to. So when I'm having a conversation with someone and I don't know how they would feel about that, I am concerned about how they would feel about it.
And I guess,
I don't know if I'm just talking in circles or not, but
I guess the only way to change that is to have a conversation with that person.
A very honest conversation. Well, that's
not on a podcast, but have a conversation. Right. Like, let's say we want to have a conversation with Kelvin and we wanted to get his honest opinion of like, you know, in a safe space where you can say, this is how I'm feeling, but there's no real reason for me to feel that way. But I feel that way because of how, you know, it's just, you know, these topics or these situations have been reacted to, you know, in the past or for other people.
Right.
And I want to talk to you about these things because like that's how we get past it.
Right.
You know, and
well, that's what we were talking to Daniel about. Yeah. And then Daniel said, I think you should bring that up in the podcast. I think it's really real. And I think that's an honest, you know, statement.
And when Gina first said that, when she first reacted to it, and like my response was, you know, because we've had a lot of conversations with Michaela and she's been reading all these books and it's really insightful. And
yeah, I was going to look those books
really
up. So I'm going to read.
You, really kind of teaches you just kind of like a new way to maybe perceive certain things and have a different perspective on it that almost is a little, it's kind of calming in a way because without, you know, educating yourself, you're really in this limbo of just being kind of terrified. So what do? We just don't deal with it.
Right.
You know? And like what I said to Gina was, well, you know, in one of those books we talked about it the other night at Michaela's around for her birthday was we were talking about how one problem or something that doesn't help the problem is like, let's talk about kids. So if you're out and there's like a black man walking in the park, and the daughter or son says, oh, look, mommy, that guy's black. It's very common for people to be like, shh, oh, you don't say that. Right? And this is what Michaela was talking about. Like, you don't say that. And in reality, but he is.
But there's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with it. And do you think that he's ashamed of his skin color? Right. No. You know, it's like there is nothing wrong with it. He knows that he is black. I know that I am
and
white.
And kids notice differences.
And kids notice it too.
Right.
You know, and so it kind of was talking about how that's kind of what where we can, you know, where people can start.
Well, it's like when people say, I don't see color.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, obviously we can see the differences in ourselves.
Yeah.
You know.
I think it's just because people want to believe that they are not racist, but they those are also, not those people, but some of people are the ones that also believe that there's no such thing as white privilege.
Right.
You know, and denying it or not speaking up about it, you know, or just being quiet because it's easier, because it's uncomfortable. That's how we keep these problems continuing.
Going. Absolutely.
You know, and that was kind of like a big reason. So I, when a lot of this was happening, I really was sort of taking my time on how am I going to have a voice, right? How am I going to say something via social media? And I really was taking my time because I just didn't want to do it the wrong way. I wanted to make sure I chose my words wisely and that I was, you know, I just, you know, I already knew that I, no matter what, there'd be people that loved it and people that hated it. I already knew that. But it didn't matter because if I didn't say it, this, it's like, this is a time when I need to. If that's what I believe.
This is too important.
It's too important to just be quiet because it's easier.
Because you're nervous about the reaction.
Yes. Or it's too important to be quiet because you're scared of polarizing your followers. Dude, I've lost a few thousand followers.
Which is
like
scary.
Overnight.
Which is scary.
It is what I just thought it was so funny. And first I was like, there were people commenting on my post like, unfollow. And my thought was, I mean, good.
Right.
You know, like if me caring about this issue
yeah.
and caring about people, regardless of where they're from or their skin color, if that's why you don't like me anymore.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
You know, I had another one comment today. Oh my gosh. I thought it was hilarious. And they said, they just thought that it was, I mean, I don't know what word verbatim because I'm not going to pull it up, but this guy was saying something along the lines about how it was probably really bad for business for me to post about
it. Oh, that's
it.
Right. You were telling me about that.
And
this morning.
Then someone commented back and like, she can, this is her Instagram. She can.
Supporting Black Lives Matter
yeah.
means that you're going to lose business. Bye-bye.
And he's like, okay, yeah, her business may not be bad, but it may really take a dive or whatever he said. And I commented back and I said, first of all, I care way more about peace than I do about followers. And if my business, you know, it just, I commented back too. And I was just like, you know what? If you were going through something that you really, really needed the support of the country and other people and other races, and you really needed us to back you, I would be there.
And you know what? Worse things have happened. People have, if you make a stand and you lose some of your business, no big deal. There are people that make stands all through history and lose their lives.
100%.
And lose their families' lives. Like that's very small in comparison.
It's tiny.
To what people have actually lived and dealt with.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. We really appreciate you and want to stay connected with you. So please rate, review, and subscribe to help this podcast grow.
And if you like the podcast, get the word out.
And now back to the show.
The first time I posted something, I had some comments that I had read. And like, I didn't read all of them. And in fact, on this post, I ended up turning off commenting because...
Yeah, explain that to people because I think that people think it's because you don't want them to see it.
No. This is actually the first time I've ever turned off comments on a post.
Oh, I think you've deleted before.
I've deleted.
Yeah.
I had done this post that was like just so eloquently written by my friend, Jonathan Haynes, and who is black, by the way, really good dude. And
so from his perspective,
and I needed to share it. It was just, even so many of the comments who were like, that was so poetic. I mean, it was just, it would be very hard to not read it and be like, and to know like,
or to that, read it and not know.
Well, it would just be hard to try and deny what it said.
Right.
And I posted that and I was just immediately blown away by so many comments that were just like asinine and really turning this thing that was, you know, this supportive post of mine into such a battlefield on my social media. Right. And I thought to myself,
it's almost like you're giving other people a platform to argue back and forth.
You know, some people messaged that they were upset. You know, they were a little bit upset that I did turn off the comments. But the reason I did is because people battling on my Instagram, that is doing nothing. That is not, you know, especially not.
Problems are not getting solved.
It wasn't a peaceful conversation that might be a little bit.
Like thought provoking.
Yeah, it was just a little bit ridiculous. And I didn't want to give people my platform, a place for them to come and just battle over something that is like, we're talking about lives here. We're just talking about peace. And we're talking about making real change for like all mankind, you know, and it has to start somewhere. And that's why the one-upping thing was really irritating me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry that this big, you know, event, this like can of worms has been opened, isn't about that one event that you're talking about, but it is about this one. And if we can all come together to make a change and converse and have conversations to make a difference for all the black lives that do matter, the camaraderie that is created by doing that, we will then,
it will, you know, seep over into
together for other things. We will come together for other things. And it was just, I just had to turn it off. And but on that post, there was someone who had commented and they were thanking me for saying something because they were kind of upset that they hadn't seen many people with like a platform in CrossFit saying something. And on one hand, I will say to this person, if you're listening, I did appreciate, I guess I don't know if I should say appreciate, but the way that you did express yourself to me about that was a really great way. You let me know that it did bother you, but you didn't put anyone down or try and be heard by making people feel guilty.
Right.
You know? And how I responded to this person was this. Maggie, stop it. It can be very scary to open yourself up for criticism.
Especially if you're not somebody that's normally like political or outspoken. Yes. Or, yeah.
It can be very scary. It can be very scary if you are, you know, and you know, maybe your business is your social media. And who knows what kind of, you know, what your financial situation is or how much you rely on that. Everyone's different. We don't know people's personal lives. And I just said, it can be very scary to do that, you know? And so give people time.
Or maybe they just don't think that it would really change anything. I mean, like somebody like me, somebody was saying, you know, unless you're using your social media and you're doing this and you're doing that, I don't even really do anything on my Instagram.
I mean,
I understand.
I'm talking about like, you know, people with like,
no, I know, but I'm
substantial amount of people.
I wasn't comparing myself to them. I was talking about amongst people that I know. Yeah. And they'll post things like, unless you're doing this, unless you're doing that. I wasn't talking about, I mean, I haven't, me being in the CrossFit community. No, I was just saying like among people posting things, almost shaming other people for not doing things. And what they have to understand is that we don't really know what everyone is actually doing.
Yeah, exactly.
To try to shame people on social media that they're not doing enough and they're not doing something, I don't think is appropriate, because you don't know what they're doing in their communities. You don't know what they're doing at home.
Lead by example. And you have no idea what someone is going through personally. Right. And on that note, don't assume the worst. Yeah. Even with complete strangers. Don't always just assume the worst about them.
And if you have a question, you can just ask
them. Yeah. Assume the best.
Yeah.
If you feel like more people should be, you know, it's their duty to be posting about this, I mean, cut them some slack. You don't know why they haven't. You don't know, you know, what journey they're right. on. Maybe they are in a situation where they're educating themselves first, you know, right. before they say anything. Who knows? But what you can do is assume the best out of them. And then maybe what you can do is if you have a real concern, if you feel like you need to post and it's your duty to say something, then do that. But don't do it just because you're expecting something from it.
Yeah.
You know, do it because your heart is telling you need to do that. And maybe some of the people around you, maybe what they'll see by you doing what you know you should do, it might help them realize like, oh, you know, I need to say something.
Well, and don't
without just telling them like, right. why aren't you doing this? And why aren't you doing that? You know?
Yeah. I was going to also say, there have definitely been times in the past where I have, you know, oh, are you okay? There have been times in the past where I've watched something and been outraged, or I've been upset, or talked with friends or whatever, and I haven't done anything about it. So don't be like I have in the past and just sit on your ass and go, wow, that's really sad. Oh, that really sucks. You know, really reach out and try to figure out what can I do? And I've been asking, what can I do? You know, and really it's, you know, you can go out and march, you can show your support,
which
you can vote, you know, make sure you vote. You can, my sister, again, like we had mentioned the books that she said to read. And of course I am in the process of ordering them, but I just wanted to, if you wanted to read them, this is Michaela, my sister's, it's called White Fragility, Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism. I don't see the author. And then the other one's called Stamps from the Beginning, The Definitive History of Racist Ideas in America. And that's by Ibram Kendi. She has read both of these and says they are really very informative and will really make you think, and it gives you ideas about what you can do. So,
and I think what's great about that is because everyone learns differently, mm-hmm. and some people don't learn well when they feel like they're being told, mm-hmm. you know, when you can read a book and you can learn on your own, it gives, you know, I think for a lot of people, and I could say for myself too, I mean, I learn just from like listening to Michaela.
Right.
Me right. too. And I learn like that. And that's just because I'm open. I want to be open-minded to other people's perspectives or experiences or opinions. But some people, they're very guarded and get really defensive. And so to read, you know, read one of these books, you really can, you're going to allow yourself to be able to open your mind to a new way of thinking. And because it's just you in the book, you get to allow yourself to let go of old ways of thinking and just change the way you think and not mm-hmm. feel like anyone's making you do it.
Right.
You know, because some people, the reaction of it is if they feel like they're being bombarded.
Well, that happened the other night. Michaela was talking about this book, which I think is mm-hmm. another thing is talk about these things with as many people as you can, because you will impact some people. You mm-hmm. may not get them all, but you will continue to kind of push that chain of change, you know, changed thinking. And so that happened is she brought something up and somebody got very defensive and said, that's bullshit. It was some, you know, example in the book. Mm-hmm. And Michaela just very calmly said, I encourage you to read the book. Just read the book and then let me know how you feel about it. Mm-hmm. And I loved that response. So if you guys are willing,
read the books,
go out and protest peacefully.
Yeah.
Donate if you can.
I think just showing up in your community to things that are happening where you can show your support. You don't even really have to say anything at some of those things, but just like taking the step to be there and help make a change it will do a lot, and it will do a lot more. It doesn't take a lot of effort from you, and it will do a lot more than you think. I went out and did a paddle out here in Santa Cruz, and then we went to it was like a protest, but it was the march, and mm-hmm. then there was like open mic, and you couldn't hear anything. There were so many people, you know, yeah. and.
But even they said, thank you for coming out, but now what are you all going to do?
Exactly. Like Eric was saying, they were saying, you know, thank you for all being here, but you know, my brothers that are black, they're still going to be black tomorrow. My brothers and sisters that are brown, they're still going to be brown tomorrow.
Yeah, you can't go do something like that and then just feel good about you did this and then not do anything else.
This is something that if we are going to, as a people, if we are going to make change, make a difference, you know, try and get our country to stop, like, you know, allow our country to live in color and not see in black and white. This doesn't just end at like one march you went to. It's a continuing, committing to educating yourself, having those hard conversations, having those hard conversations with friends, family.
Yeah,
you know, and
learning, vote
and vote.
If you are not registered to vote and you are not voting, you do not get to complain about what's happening in our government. I'm not saying in the world. You have to be part of that, and you have to educate yourself on voting. You don't just vote for what you think is popular. You read what everything's about. You need to know what you are voting for, the repercussions of what you're voting for, and make sure that they are in line with your views.
Yes, we're not going to make a change by acting out and being violent and destructing government property because we're mad.
Right.
What's going to happen? You're going to commit crimes?
Well, it's like a kid that throws a temper tantrum in their room and then their room's destroyed.
Yes.
It's their,
we're not,
doing, yeah.
The change isn't going to come from that. Is that going on? Yes. Is it creating a noise? Yes. Is it going to make change? No, probably not. It's going to create a lot of anger.
People would argue that it's brought it to the forefront, which I can't argue with, but I think that those people are going to settle in those same places and have this, you know, destroyed city? Absolutely.
If that is what created change, we would have created it years ago.
Oh, 100%.
When this all happened again.
No, I agree. I'm saying there are people that will argue that.
Well, of course.
Not myself.
People that argue fucking everything.
That is true.
You know what I mean? It's like, you can't get through to everyone. That's one thing I talked to my dad about. It's my last thought. I swear. It was just this idea of like, this is all happening. And there are people that they're the type of people that just love to like that's what they like.
Yeah.
They love to get angry and amp people up and like storm the tower. And it's like, but that's not going to solve the problem.
Right.
You know, I watched a video of this, this black woman. I don't know if it was in Philadelphia or New York or whatever. And she's out in the street and she's pissed because of the area that she lives. There were like these like white dudes, like bandanas on their head, and people had just been destroying shit. They had like completely torn apart this bus stop and these like charging stations. And she's down there like, are you fucking kidding me?
Right.
There are all these people that rely on that to get to work.
Right.
It's like, you're destroying things that like what you're fighting for, what you're destroying for.
Well, it's not what they're fighting for.
No, but that's
they're
the point.
Using it as an excuse.
You're
to
using
destroy
it
things.
As like, you know, in the way you're part of the problem, if
right.
that's what you're doing, you know? And so she was saying, it's like, go and have a voice and show up and help make a change. But by destroying things, what you're doing is you're just making life harder for some of the people that you're supposedly fighting for.
Well, and for yourself, if you're living in that town.
Yes. You know, so.
Yeah.
This is a problem that needed to happen. And the things that are occurring are bringing it to the forefront, and that's important. But what we need to do now is realize that continuing the destruction or continuing the aggression and the hate, that's not going to take us anywhere. We need to learn from the mistakes that we've made in the past of just getting to a point where we just all go back to how we don't talk about anything.
Right.
And now we need to talk about it.
Well, and I just want to point out, when you said this needed to happen, she obviously does not mean somebody needed to be killed. She means...
No.
She,
oh my God. Thanks, Gina. Yeah.
No. I just want to make that clear, because you know some dumbass is going to listen to this and be like, oh, she said this. No, of course not. No, nobody needed to die.
No, I mean
she means that...
We needed to have an uproar.
We needed to have an... Yeah.
Because if... So it, if
we needed to become outraged.
If the outrage didn't happen, then that murder would just be one more murder.
Yeah. Amongst
that,
all
that,
the others.
Yes, amongst countless other ones that just almost get swept under a rug.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, it is fucked up.
So this outrage that is happening needed to happen. And now we have this opportunity where people are listening. And now what are we going to do with it? That's what I mean.
Yeah.
We got it. We.
I knew what you meant.
Thanks, Gina. As the people, we need to have those conversations and try and make real change, which again, we talked about.
We're still trying to figure out what that is.
You don't change someone's mind or perspective right. by telling them what they should believe. You got to find a new way to help them see it differently.
Yeah.
And part of that's going to be through conversation and, again,
uncomfortable conversations.
And reading these books.
And being honest with yourself.
And read these books. You give yourself an opportunity.
And there's tons more. I know that someone, maybe it was Megan or somebody, had posted Probably. There's like ways to talk to your kids about racism or about color or about, you know, all these different things that are really cool too, which I wish I would have done when my kids were younger. So if you have small children, great conversation to open up. Reading to them obviously is a wonderful thing, and they're just like little sponges. So get out there and read, people.
Yeah, and racism is learned.
Absolutely.
So...
All right. Well, we're going to wrap that up.
Yeah.
We're like both sweating like, oh God.
They're like, you guys just really said the same shit
over and over again. Yeah, that's probably true.
And we're
just really being real and just saying exactly what we feel. And sometimes our brains just loop.
And this is this is the first time that we are having this conversation, allowing ourselves to publicly process these thoughts that we have, you know, we want to say and share, but there's a little bit of fear. Mm-hmm. And because we told you we don't have all the information.
I think the fear for us, again, and I don't mean to like start it all up again, but the fear for us is not because we don't want people to think that we think what we think.
No.
It's about how do we get our message across. So
right
that
way.
Is the fear.
No,
that is the fear.
Well,
how do we get our message across?
That's what I mean.
So that
the
it doesn't,
fear of like saying the wrong
blundering
word.
The message. We don't want to blunder through the message, because we absolutely do believe 100% and are not worried about
this platform.
How we
this
feel.
This podcast is the platform for us to do this.
It is.
We can talk
we
to you.
That this You're not is a responsibility
an
that we
Instagram
needed to.
Post. You're not going to read an right. email. This is. Us sharing our thoughts with you and
hopefully you understand them.
And if not, that's okay, because sometimes we don't understand our own thoughts and we're going to,
maybe we're just not good at explaining them.
We're going to read these books and over time through conversation and practice, we're going to get better at expressing
yes,
our feelings.
Absolutely.
So, you guys, thanks
for
listening.
We're a work in progress.
Yes. Constant work in progress.
We are not role models. We don't pretend to be role models.
No, but we do show people that you can mess up and make mistakes, but you can make them better.
You can try.
You can get better.
All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for listening.
Remember to
rate, review, subscribe, 5-star rating, 5-star warning, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Take care. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.